Mac DeMarco. This next song is going out to all you frat boys out there.
Good morning, listening to B-Side Dreams. You wouldn't be left out without. Listening to B-Side Dreams here on BFF.FM. I'm Jamie B-Side, and I'm here today with my guest, P.F. Dimonis.
Hello.
And hi, P.F. And
I love that Young Marble Giant song, by the way.
Yeah, I've been enjoying that album, Colossal Youth, all over again in the past couple weeks. Yeah, and it's really good intro music, their instrumental ones.
Totally. I also play it in my massage studio sometimes.
Oh, so, good. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, PF has a great massage practice if anyone's looking for a massage in Hayes Valley. What is your website? pfbodywork.com. Check that out. He plays great music. It's in Hayes Valley.
Okay, enough plugging.
So today we are going to talk about rock memoirs that we've read and play some tracks based on those books. So we're going to start with some stuff that you've read. And I think the first track we're playing here is, let me find
it. It's Kid by the Pretenders. And I wanted to say just a bit about, I've been reading almost exclusively rock memoirs for the past few years. And one of my favorites was not the Pretender, not Chrissy Hynde's, which is also really good. Hers is Reckless. But one of my favorites was Johnny Marr, Set the Boy Free. And he actually did play with the Pretenders for a short time after the Smiths broke up. Reason I chose Kid was because Johnny Marr tells a story in his memoir about getting the Pretenders' first album in 1980 when he was a teenager. And he actually learned to play guitar partially from that song, Kid, so it's kind of his roots. And then when the Smiths broke up and he was invited to join the Pretenders, they had a little audition for him. And, you know, nobody knew that he had been warming up with Kid for, you know, his entire guitar career.
Mm.
And he just said, let's just start with Kid. You know, why not just choose that one?
Nice.
And then he just nailed it, of course. So this is the original of Kid by the Pretenders. And right, we'll talk more about Johnny Marr after the break.
Good job. Awesome. All right, here we go.
Never outgrow. You think it's wrong. Thank you. doorways where the life dog slept in the street. In the jungle lands with the cold cola cans, you'll get the keys to the city for free. Milk and honey, warm it down with money. Bring a poor boy to his knees.
Hello, you are listening to B-Side Dreams here on BFF.FM. I'm Jamie B-Side here with my guest, P.F. Dumanis.
Hello.
And we are talking about songs that we put together a playlist based on rock memoirs that
rock
we've read.
Rock memoirs.
So P.F. is going first with some stuff, and in that last round... Let's talk about what we heard, Pia.
Yeah, I like to back announce backwards. I think you like to back announce forwards, but I can do either.
I'm actually trying to change it.
Oh, great. Backwards. Yeah, I like back announcing backwards.
Okay.
Let's just talk about DJing for... No, I'm just kidding. the last song was actually a Beck song, but if you were listening to that last couple of minutes where it got mellow, the guitar is very... distinctive Johnny Marr guitar. Both of those guitars are him playing. And the reason that I chose that one, and I have two songs in my sets that Johnny Marr plays on. The one before that was, of course, The Smiths, one of my favorite songs, which is often overlooked. This night has opened my eyes. But the Beck song that Johnny Marr was invited to play on is off of Midnight Vultures, called Milk and Honey, and that's the one that we heard. And I'm going to read an excerpt from his book because it was one of the ones that made me laugh a lot. He says, in LA, I did a session with Beck on his Midnight Vultures album. I went into the studio, and after meeting everyone, I noticed that there were pictures of Prince all over the place. I took this to be ironic, especially the posters where Prince was wearing women's underwear. But then when I heard the music, I realized that the posters were for real, as the record was very, very funky. And it is.
That sounds like such a white
record.
Person saying something's funky. Very, very funky.
Very, very funky. In his British accent, which I'm not going to imitate. But one of my favorite Beck albums, even though it's, you know, it's different for Beck. He really got into Prince and Kraftwerk in pretty much an equal ratio.
Okay.
On that album.
That's one of your favorite okay.
One of my favorite Beck albums.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but I was laughing when we started playing that, because I thought if I didn't know this was Beck, I would be like, what is this garbage music? It's like he gets kind of a pass because he's Beck.
But how do you really feel about that song? The Smiths song that we played, This Night Has Opened My Eyes, is actually one of the first songs that I learned to play on guitar. And of course, it was very ambitious of me because, I'm no Johnny Marr.
That's a funny place to start. I'd be like three chord. Very simple.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say I did it justice, but I learned it.
Okay, that's hilarious. So yeah, anything else about that one?
I highly recommend Johnny Marr's memoir called Set the Boy Free. It's a really great read, and he's a really great writer.
Oh,
as
cool.
You can tell from the excerpt.
When did that come out?
Oh yeah, that was probably about a decade ago.
Okay,
close to that.
Okay,
yeah, I saw him play and talk about the book at the JCC.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I think Greg Dubrow was there, too. I don't know if Greg's listening, but I think
he was
there. Hi, Greg.
Oh, we should probably mention how I know you. Like, PF's been on the show before because we used to be in a band together called The Matinees.
Used to be.
PF's constantly talking
and maybe
about
again.
Reuniting. And Greg Dubrow used to have a show before mine. He's also played bass with us in The Matinees.
A great bass player.
Yes.
Greg is. So, our next set is going to begin with Throwing Muses, which is a band close to my heart because it was, Throwing Muses shows were some of the first rock shows that I ever saw, when I was in college in Boston. And before that, I grew up in San Diego where all clubs were 21 plus. So I didn't see a whole lot of rock shows, just, you know, a couple of big stadium shows like The Cure, who we'll get into later. But when I got to Boston and the people that lived on the writer's corridor floor of the dormitory I was in, who were a bunch of goths, were going to Throwing Muses shows because they were just up and coming. They were the first American band to be signed to 4AD, so it was a big deal. And so I started going to Throwing Muses shows, and that's actually how I discovered the Pixies, too, because the Pixies opened one night for Throwing Muses. But Kristen Hirsch, the lead singer from Throwing Muses, has a great memoir. Rat Girl is the name of her memoir. And it's actually a memoir largely adapted from her diary that she kept the first year. Kind of the most important year that Throwing Muses, when they were signed to 4AD, also when she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and also found out that she was pregnant while on medication for her bipolar disorder. So it was like a really tough year for her, and she kept a diary. And then And then when she was ready to write a book, she just took her diary pages and basically annotated it. And that's...
That makes it easier. I mean, it's nice to keep a record while it's happening.
Yeah.
Forget a lot of detail. So we had some problems with the tracking of this. So I'm not playing the Throwing Muses version of the song. I'm going to try and play. It seems like I might also be having a problem with this version, which is a Kristen Hirsch solo acoustic version of the track Hate My Way. But let me try. Let's see if we can do this. Is there anything else you want to say?
Exciting live radio.
Yeah.
No, we'll talk more about it after at the next break.
Okay. Nope, I can't do it. I don't know what's wrong.
Okay, right. We're going to sing it live for you.
I can play that live version of it, which I don't necessarily... Like, I don't feel great about live tracks.
But... You know, I mean... You can go ahead and play the live version. I was also going to say I have it on my phone. Is there a way to hook up my phone?
Do you have an audio plugin? Or is it like the new app iPhone?
What do you mean by an audio plugin?
Can I plug in?
Oh, no, it doesn't have an audio jack. Yeah. Although, yeah, what I should have done was brought my little adapter, my Lightning, to...
Troubleshooting live.
I know. I could hold it up to the microphone.
You could, and then we could Mystery Science Theater over the top of it.
That's right. Why don't we play the live version, even though neither of us really likes live version, and it doesn't have Tanya Donnelly, who is my favorite member of Throwing Muses. She doesn't have a memoir. But this is Throwing Muses with a live version of Hate My Way.
Oh, Tanya Donnelly's not on this live version?
I don't think so. I think this was, from what I read, I think it was 2003 recording. I could be wrong.
Should I quickly look on YouTube or something and see if there's one?
What's the time like for your show?
It's pretty loose over here.
Yeah, why don't you? Yeah, I mean, I know it's available on YouTube, so as long as your computer's connected, just go ahead and... Will there be ads?
I hope not.
All right, so we're loading this up. You know what I can do, actually, while you're loading that up, is read another excerpt, because I did prepare one that Kristen Hirsch wrote. Let's see. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is direct from her diary. So this is right after she found out she was pregnant.
Whoops, sorry.
No, that's all right. Do you want me to read this excerpt or should I do this after?
Ahead.
Okay.
I didn't know it was going to play when I clicked on it.
So it was after she found out she was pregnant and she was on medication for bipolar disorder, but she couldn't keep them down because she was having morning sickness.
Oh.
So she decided to do some research. So she says, I went to a bookstore first. Everybody all glasses and sweaters and constantly asking if I need any help. Well, obviously, if there was a desperation section, I'd be in that. They probably thought I was shoplifting. They always think I'm shoplifting because I dress homeless, I guess. Please, if I were shoplifting, I'd dress nice. I stood in this bookstore for about an hour, tearing through whiny books for whiny people who want to learn how to whine more coherently, looking for information. I couldn't find any. Soon I realized I wasn't looking to help myself. I was looking for someone else to help me. So much. I'm whinier than I thought. So I thanked the helpful sweater people and left, went to the library where they leave you alone. The library is full of panicky students crammed in cubicles, still all glasses and sweaters, but these people are too preoccupied with their own stress to even look up. Poring over reference books all afternoon, college textbooks and drug manuals, I've learned that the medications I'm supposed to be taking and, of course, potentially are dangerous to a fetus. I already stopped taking them anyway. I can't keep them down.
All right. And with that, we will hear the Throwing Muses' Hate My Way. This is from...
their first self-titled album.
Okay.
Might not have a chance. Dinosaur's manager.
Yeah, Dinosaur has like 10 managers.
They don't have any other managers.
They have like, are you kidding? They have a manager in every city.
It's such an easy job, though, to just tell them what to do, I think.
Yeah, but it's like they want you to do everything, you know, it's like they're the kind of band. Like,
yeah, but that's easier to do everything than to just do some of it.
That's true.
It's easier
to
have
somebody else.
And then have somebody else fuck up what you've done by doing part of your job. It's like easier to just do the whole thing. In some ways, I think like somebody like Red Cross would be easy to manage because they would just be so like, well, what do we do now?
No
and you
doubt.
Just tell them and that
totally
would just
awesome.
Be it.
They just want to rock.
Yeah, right. They don't want to do anything.
They just want to be rock gods. You know?
Yeah. I see somebody hit a snare. So let's call Jay.
Okay.
Let's see if we can...
Hello, is Jay there? Oh, yeah, could you just tell them that Kim and Suzanne called? Okay, thank you.
Hello, you are listening to B-Side Dreams here on BFF.fm. I'm here with P.F. Dumanis. We're talking about rock memoirs and...
Is that the noisiest your show's ever been?
No. Okay. I can't think of specific examples, but I don't think so.
Most of that noise was Jay Maskus playing the guitar, because I guess they finally did actually get a hold of him.
So what? Tell us.
Oh yeah,
story.
That was Two Cool Rock Chicks listening to Noi, featuring Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth, and it was not on a Sonic Youth album. It was on the Chicona Youth album, which was their one single. What am I trying to say? It was the one side project that they did. It was all the members of Sonic Youth, but it was kind of more experimental.
Yeah.
Right after Daydream Nation came out and they were starting to hit their stride as what Sonic Youth would be known for, they decided to just, you know, toss it all off, experiment with samples. You heard that Robert Palmer sample near the end.
Yeah.
There. And they also actually do a couple of covers, one of which is Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love, with Kim singing this really drawling...
Yes, I've heard those.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Love it.
And Madonna songs like Burning Up and Into
the
Groove.
Yeah, explain what the name Ciccone is.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Madonna's last name is Ciccone. So
her real name is Susan Ciccone? Or what's her
first
name?
I thought she was Madonna Ciccone, but I could be wrong about that. I thought Madonna was her given name, but you can look it up.
Okay.
our listening audience can look it up. But yeah, so it was kind of Madonna themed. The cover is a Xeroxed, like heavily Xeroxed photo close up of Madonna's face.
Yeah,
which
that's cool.
I just learned last night looking this stuff up that they they were on Geffen at the time, and Geffen was worried about Madonna, you know, having a problem with that. But they sent it to Madonna's sister, who worked in the art department. And I guess, like, it came back that Madonna was, like, totally fine with it. She remembered Sonic Youth from her Danceteria days in New York City in the early 80s.
Oh, cool.
And she was totally fine with
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, and then, so before that...
So before that was the song Silver, which some of our listeners might know as a Pixies song, because it originated as a Pixies song on Doolittle. But it was actually penned by Kim Deal, who does not have a memoir, but I recently read an oral history of the Pixies, and she certainly has a lot of quotes in that oral history. So I feel like it's almost like a Kim Deal memoir. And
where can you what is it?
Oh, it's called Fool the World.
Okay.
And it was actually published right after the Pixies reunited for the first time, so around 2005.
Okay.
And of course Kim Deal has since left the Pixies again.
Yeah, because once you watch the documentary about how that went, oh, you're yeah. like, it's like the most depressing thing ever.
Oh yeah.
Like and they're all in their own buses and stuff. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Okay.
And David doing his magic.
Oh my God. Yes, I totally yeah. thought of the brother from Arrested Development yeah. that whole time.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah. By the way, yeah, if anybody likes to go see the Pixies, keep in mind that's not really the Pixies because
right.
Kim's not in the band anymore. So
Right.
So we played two Kims. Oh, by the way, we didn't mention Kim Gordon's memoir.
Book. Yeah.
Yeah. Which Jamie's also going to play a Sonic Youth song later in the hour. But we've both read Kim Gordon's memoir, Girl in a Band,
yeah.
which is great.
Yes. And right. And then before that, we heard The Throwing Muses.
Right.
Okay. And you already talked about that.
Hate My Way. And we already talked about that.
Okay. So now we're going to move on. Is The Throbbing Gristle the track?
Yeah. Okay. So the... I don't know how many of your regular listeners, Jamie, know who Throbbing Gristle were, but they were the band that was first called an industrial music band. And it's not what most people would think of as industrial music these days. They did incorporate noise into their music, but it was also just highly experimental. Female. Oh, were you going to say something?
No, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, you're just holding your bottle like you're going
to. I was just like.
Got it.
Well, I was going to ask about the book,
oh,
but
yeah,
you're about
yeah.
to say it.
Yeah. So Cozy Fanny Tutti, who is the female member of Throbbing Gristle, wrote a really great memoir. And I forget the name of it. But she.
It has a really provocative name.
Yeah. I think it has a provocative name. But I don't remember what the.
we'll talk about it again.
We'll talk about it again. But the big takeaway from that book was how difficult to work with the lead singer of Throbbing Gristle was, Genesis Peorage, who later went on to form Psychic TV. And she just really tears into Genesis Peorage in almost every page of the book. Similar to
their two names are insane,
aren't they? Though I mean, it was you know, it was the '70s, kind of the art
Genesis
world of London.
Peorage.
Genesis Peorage, Cozy Fanny Tutti. They're all made up names,
yeah.
And so is the another member of the Throbbing Gristle, Sleazy,
okay.
whose real name was Peter Christofferson, but he went by Sleazy. Named by Cozy, actually. And he started out as a photographer for that design firm Hypnosis that did so many classic 70s album covers.
Oh, okay.
And so they met him as a photographer, but he was already getting into tape experimentation. So he was the one that supplied most of the noise in Throbbing Gristle, while Genesis Peorage was really just a glorified punk singer and played violin very badly. And Cozy was actually one of the musicians in the band. She played guitar really interestingly, and Sleazy would build these pedals, which he would call gristleizers. Oh, and I should also mention that neither Cozy nor the fourth member, Chris Carter, who they ended up being a romantic couple and also having their own band, Chris and Cozy. But neither of them would use the full name of the band, Throbbing Gristle. They refused to use it because they thought it was so ridiculous. And so...
But they didn't think that their names were ridiculous. They just thought that. So what did they call it?
So Cozy would just call it Gristle. for short, and Chris would just call it TG. Okay. But these gristleizer pedals that Sleazy would make just really distorted the guitar sound way beyond what even sounds like a guitar, and that sound is a lot of what you'll hear in this song.
So this song is the title track from the album 20 Jazz Funk Greats.
Yeah, and I should probably also talk about that title, because it's emblazoned in big, kind of like classic font.
Yeah, you think it looks like a
jazz
album.
Funk yeah. record. Yeah, called 20 Jazz Funk Greats. And then if anybody bought it based on the album cover, they would be very surprised listening to it.
All right, so here we go, 20 Jazz Funk Greats.
Thank you.
there. Hello there. You're listening to B-Side Dreams. And just in the interest of time, we're just lowering the volume at the end of this track because it's all instrumental for the rest of it. And
you like Grey Cats.
I love Grey Cats. That song is called All Cats Are Grey by The Cure. And why did you choose this song?
Well, I read the Lowell Tolhurst memoir, which was called Cured. And this song is the one that Lowell Tolhurst had the most influence on. I think he wrote most of it, actually. And, you know, usually Robert Smith writes everything and controls everything for The Cure. But this, I think, really showcases his contribution to The Cure, and that's why I chose it. And
what's his role?
Oh, he was originally the drummer, and then later the keyboardist, and then later he was still in the band while he did absolutely nothing because he had a drinking problem. Then he ultimately got fired from the band after listening to the mixes of Disintegration and said, this doesn't even really sound like The Cure. And so they fired him because he had contributed nothing.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite Cure songs. I want to take this opportunity to say hello to my lovely daughter Esme and my partner Maya, who are both listening right now. Hi Esme. Hi Maya.
Hello guys. I'm saying hello as well.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, before that, we already talked about,
20 jazz funk. Great.
Right. We already.
You know what I did not mention from the previous set was that the Breeders version of Silver, which was only a demo, it was never released, features violin from Carrie Bradley, who is
yes.
a friend of mine and also the violinist from Ed's Redeeming Qualities and 100 Watt Smile and
The Great Auk. I love that band.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So
played with that band.
Yeah, we did.
At the Hotel Utah.
Hotel Utah, yeah. A long time ago.
Okay, and now the rest of the show is yours, Jamie.
Yeah, I get 9 minutes.
Oh, sorry. No. Thank you for letting me hog your show.
No, that's what I wanted to happen, truly. So I'm just going to truncate a little bit what I kind of picked out. I've actually played a lot of these songs because I've done shows based on books I've read in the past. So this one is Sleater-Kinney, based on Carrie Brownstein's memoir, Hunger Makes Me a Modern Girl.
Great memoir.
Yeah, she's such an awesome writer. In fact, she stopped when she wasn't playing music, and she talks about this in the book, how she spent a year or two just writing, and that was a really lonely period in her life. And then after that, she went back to music and doing Portlandia and stuff. But she did a really great blog for a while. When I found out about it, it was she'd just finished it. So it was
yeah, I never read her blog. Did you ever go back and read some?
I read a little bit of it and I was wow, she's a really good writer.
She is.
So this is a track called I Want to Be Your Joey Ramone. What album is this on? Call the Doctor, maybe.
I think it's called The Doctor.
Yeah. So she mentions this in the book, just her being influenced by the Ramones and wanting to have that role to be for people to look at her in the same way that she looked at Joey Ramone and other people looked at Joey Ramone. So this is Sleater-Kinney.
I'm so bored.
Okay, you have been listening to B-Side Dreams here on BFF.FM. That was Sleater-Kinney with I Want to Be Your Joey Ramone. I had some other tracks I was going to play from memoirs, rock memoirs I've read. I'm just going to truncate it down to Viv Albertine, because PF and I both read her two amazing memoirs.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they're both great.
I was trying to silence you. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what I was thinking? You could play more songs from memoirs on a future B-Side Dreams.
And yeah, actually, one of the tracks I was going to play is one by Polystyrene, because I've heard she has a book coming out. So maybe I'll just do like a whole episode devoted to her.
Or when her book comes out and Debbie Harry's book comes out, you can invite me back on. And
yeah, let's do that.
All right. It's a date.
Let's look forward to that. So yeah, Viv Albertine had two memoirs. The first was called, I'm going to forget which order. Boys, Clothes, Music, 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 Boys. Yes. So good. And that's more a history of, the Slits and her music background and stuff. And then the more recent one is called To Be Thrown Away Unopened, and that's her relationship with her parents.
Really dark.
Yeah. And so this track I'm going to play is not a Slits track. It's a Viv Albertine solo track called Still England. What is the album it's on? I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
Our listeners can look it up.
Yeah. But here you go. It might get cut out. But
it's been a pleasure being on your show, Jamie.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. Yes, and I'll see you next time, and we'll see PF when he's back, when those memoirs are out.
England, it's still England. Drew its feet, dodgy meat, Royal Mail, Reading Jail, crooked teeth, wrong kind of leaves, clouds and rain. Summer's dream, custard creams, you will never rule again. England, it's still England, it's still England. No one likes us, we don't care. It's still England, it's still England. Syrup of figs and apples and pears. No more dogs and tanning mills. No more blue remembered hills. Always coughing, always ill. England, it's still England.